Welcome to the Secure Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Matrenga, with our co-host, Mike Monsif with ASAP Security Services. Today, we're going to talk about a few different things, right? Used to be the title of the podcast or was Secure Ed with a capital ED, because we primarily focus on, you know, school-based security. But recently we've had conversations about...
Well, the podcast did, not what we do. We handle everything.
Well, the podcast. Yeah, I mean, yeah. We do all-encompassing critical infrastructure, sure. Military, law enforcement.
But there's so many people, so many other things that we come across that need to be talked about.
And true.
So Secured.
So we changed the name to Secured to be a little bit more all-encompassing.
Same spelling, right?
Yeah, same spelling, just without the emphasis on ED. That could be construed as erectile dysfunction, but there was another reason why we decided to change that name. Brought to my attention by my esteemed co-host, Mr. Monsif. So, no, we decided to change the name so that we could talk a little bit deeper about security in general that affects our local, our state, and our federal. Footprint, you know, for everything from, you know, wars to border security to crime within our streets and within our communities, in our schools, our universities. Let's see, universities. We could start talking about that, too, mm-hmm. this latest protest that we've seen. So, but for right now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about immigration. And we've seen that that's been a hot button topic throughout the United States. Many different opinions on both sides, many different factions, both outraged on both sides. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so obviously being in Texas, where we've been at the epicenter, we've been at the epicenter of this for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think that anyone who hasn't gone to the Rio Grande Valley can fully grasp what is going on down there. Mm-mm. And you see the politicians who actually make the trip and go, yeah, we've got a real crisis here, right?
Well, according to our president, we don't.
But he also hasn't been.
Well, he went a couple months ago.
Where?
He went to the Rio Grande Valley.
Okay.
Let me backtrack. I can't confirm if he went. I think he sent the vice president.
Right. But I don't think that they made it quite to the Rio Grande Valley.
Right.
They were in South Texas, but not the Rio. Right. They weren't. There was nobody actually on the border. So, if you haven't been there,
pay no attention to that man behind the green curtain.
you really don't know what is truly going on. I mean, you hear what the media is, mm-hmm. you know, putting out there. You know, they show a video of, you know, a group of gotaways or people, you know, the media shows coming across or them actually attempting to cross. But if you haven't seen it, you can't comprehend it. And so one of the first things, and this is going back years and years and years ago, that caught me off guard. And you know, obviously I do a lot of business down there, have an office in Harlingen. Mm-hmm. I go in and out of South Texas regularly, right? But I was making the commute from, and this is going back years ago. It's still happening today, but this is long time that this has been happening. Our governor in Texas had put a tremendous amount of resources along the border, but I don't think people really comprehend how much resources we're talking about. So when I was driving from McAllen to Laredo, there's a stretch of land there that's really desolate. There's not much, if anything, other than ranches built mm-hmm. up along that. And as I got to the very edge of McAllen, I passed a couple of hotels. And the hotels' parking lots were full of state trooper vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other ones there. And talking with the hotels, the state of Texas has... basically rented those hotels indefinitely. And they are taking state troopers and they're on a rotation, so many weeks down there, so many weeks back in there. And so between McAllen and Laredo in that section, about every 2 miles or so, pretty much alternating either side of the road, there was a state trooper or a border patrol agent or a county sheriff along those roads, and they were all the way down the entire length of that road going between there. It's a long, long road. And people don't understand the impact on these communities and how many. I mean, you see the photos, right? I see it on TV, but when you're eye level, when you're boots on the ground and you're seeing what it's doing to those communities, and then now, you know, politically, Texas and other states started, you know, there was a lot of other states that were really critical of how Texas was handling this and that it really wasn't that big problem. And so we had sent, you know, a couple of busloads, a couple of plane loads
Chicago,
that were safe-haven, and the ones who were so critical of Texas.
Yeah, the way that we were responding.
And just after receiving a handful of busloads of people, they declared a state of emergency. Right? And they have no idea what's been happening to Texas this entire time. And so in the beginning, I mean, immigration has always been illegal immigration anyways, and border crossings historically had been people from Mexico and Central America coming to America.
Not anymore.
But it is drastically changing.
Mm-hmm.
The last border agent that I had a conversation with said that they are coming across some crazy number, like 29 different languages that they're trying to have linguists available to communicate with people because it is no longer just Spanish that they need to speak.
Well, and I'm certain that they're all, you know, friendly countries that they're coming from, friendly countries to the United States, correct?
Yeah, right. No way.
Yeah.
We have military age men coming from countries who do not like America.
Right.
Right. We have extremely educated, well-dressed Chinese national young females coming here that are highly educated.
Mm-hmm.
It is no longer the Democrat or the makeup, the demographic of the people who are coming here illegally has changed.
Drastically changed.
Drastically changed.
No longer, you know, Latinos coming from Mexico.
No, there's definitely
seeking,
a change.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Right.
Well, but, I mean, that's what happens when you have an unsecured border. You know, let's start talking about...
But what's crazy about that is why do we have that, right? If anybody has ever traveled internationally and crossed borders or seen their border fences, other countries in the world do not have the open borders like we do.
Mm-hmm.
I vividly remember as a child, I was a teenager traveling in Europe with my parents, and we were on a tour bus crossing a border. And I vividly remember a guy with an MP5 with a flashlight on it, pointing it in my face with looking at a passport and staring at me and staring at the passport. And they did that with every single solitary person all the way down the tour bus. It was not, hey, come on in, you know, here's a cell phone, here's whatever. That
didn't happen. $5,000 of our taxpayer money to, you know, live in the Waldorf Astoria or to feed your family.
It's insanity. Like, I mean, what's actually going on there? And there's so many other things that it causes a strain on it. There's no resources there. The religious agency associations and organizations have tried. They're maxed out. They're tapped out as far as trying to find homes, facilities, resources, border patrol. You know, we've done a ton of work down there for temporary facilities and housing facilities and things like that. Until you see it, like you really can't comprehend how crazy it is. The transport. So people come here, and then the cartels and people are paying people so much money to transport that, you know, one of the latest things is that money has gotten so lucrative that Houston's become a hotspot where people, you know, regular people that you work with are going down on a weekend
transporting
and transporting
and
making, you know, $5,000 a weekend.
Tons of news reports of, you know, we're talking about professionals. We're talking about attorneys and teachers and doctors that are now becoming essentially immigration mules to move people from one part of the country to the next.
Because there's much money in it.
Yeah.
The amount of, unless you've experienced it, again, there's so many people who are so hypocritical, right, and judgmental of anybody who speaks against this, but unless you've been in an emergency room that is completely full of illegal immigrants here getting free medical treatment by going to an ER, right, and you're in line and you're paying and have insurance and everything else, and you're in line, that is the way that they're getting medical treatment in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so it's put this huge burden on hospitals throughout Texas, right, and the nation. And that's how healthcare is going. Housing, all of this government assistance that's meant to help Americans, you know, go back in is now being dwindled and being given to illegal immigrants over Americans.
Yeah.
It is... You know, then like we talk about the transport side, the other side of this is that now there's people who are transporting, and maybe it's not somebody who is getting paid. Maybe it's a stolen vehicle, or maybe it's a true cartel mule, but they've got 27 people in a Suburban, right? And they're going to get pulled over, and instead of just pulling over, they get in a high-speed pursuit. So, you know, working with all of the law enforcement and fire and everything else, doesn't necessarily end up into them just pulling into a parking lot and bailing out. It could be a high-speed pursuit where innocent Americans could get killed, right? And in many times, it ends up as a mass fatality for that vehicle. They lose control, go off the road, it flips. Nobody inside the vehicle is wearing a seatbelt. And all of a sudden, now you have 22 out of 27 fatalities, deceased, right there on the side of the road.
I think the problem is this: is that we as Americans, we want to politicize everything, right? And the truth is that it doesn't. This is a situation that should be concerning to all Americans, regardless of your political affiliations. And this has nothing
to
do
with...
This is not a red or blue issue. This is an issue regarding the sovereignty of a country, right? People that want to fight that we should continue to allow this level of illegal immigration into the United States are the same ones that want to argue about how entitlement programs are drying up. Well, it's because our resources are getting stretched thin. If you start looking at financial costs, right? And I'm not defending this individual at all. I'm just making a point, is that when President Trump was in office, he talked about building a wall. It was going to cost $25 billion, right, with a B, okay? At the time, I used to think, and I would personally say, look, you know, $25 billion on a wall when we could be providing better education or, you know, improving our infrastructure, to me, seems a little irrelevant or a little foolish. We should just send troops to the border and secure our border that way. Don't spend the $25 billion on building a wall. Increase our infrastructure, put more money towards our education, give our teachers better pay. But looking back now, $25 billion it's nothing.
It's nothing.
Because we've spent $177 billion going to the Ukraine.
Oh yeah, well, so, I mean, it's not even that, Mike. I mean, there's so much more that we have spent supporting illegal immigrants. I mean, think about let's just look at what Texas has spent to transport out of Texas.
To all the sanctuary cities.
Like, how much money is that really, right? Chartered planes, chartered buses, chartered whatever. And we're not the only state that's doing that. it's an insane amount of money. Think about how many federal facilities and processing facilities and everything else that's going in there. What the current docket of immigration looks like. You're never going to get through it.
Well, this, but I know, and that's all by design. Like, this could all be resolved in a matter of a couple years, right? If we had politicians that were
trying to truly make a change.
Well, if we had politicians that would unite, that would put aside their differences, you know, understand that, listen, we have 15 million, you know, illegal immigrants in the United States, with that number drastically rising pretty much what seems like on a daily basis. If they would put aside their differences and try to find some type of resolution, right? And so the answer to the question is, well, what's that resolution? And, you know, the right will say no path to citizenship. The left will say a path to citizenship or whatever their solutions are. But we can resolve this. It's not that hard to solve. There should be an expedited means for these individuals to become citizens if they don't have a violent criminal past. They're already here. We don't have the resources to to deport all of these individuals.
Even if we deported them, our border is so porous that they just can come right back
So what I would say is how we resolve this is we significantly increase our presence on the border physically. If we have to use the Army National Guard, if we have to use federal troops to do that.
The problem has been that every time they go down there, then you get into, is the use of deadly force authorized or not? And so then the next piece of this becomes, we have cartel with weapons. We have people who are willing to run. They're not going to stop, right? How much do you spend corralling people? And when is the rules of engagement center? And that's been the problem when the state has pushed, you know, National Guard down, right?
Recently.
What are their rules of engagement? It gets really messy because basically you need to defend yourself. If you're shot at, you can shoot back, but just don't end up on the 10 o'clock news. I mean, that's essentially, and there's no soldier out there that wants to be in that situation.
Yeah, I understand the complexity of that, the use of force. I certainly understand the complexity of that. But what I'm saying is this is not something that's hard to resolve. It's not. We can resolve this. We can provide a time period in which people self-report. We have those individuals,
Come on, but let's be real. Nobody's self-reporting.
I tell you what, if there was an expedited pathway to citizenship, and I believe that they would self-report. If we laid out a solid plan and said, listen, if you're here in the United States illegally, first of all, before we do this, we're going to secure the border with people, right? We're going to send troops there. We're going to begin the assembly of a wall. We're going to have a true, solid, secure border.
A wall is in your plan?
Yes, it's in my plan.
Okay. All right, just make sure.
Yeah, I mean, because in the past, I would say, you know, I've gone on record saying that I didn't think at the time that was a good use of taxpayer dollars. But now we have a problem that is so bad that we're forced to do that. And then when you look at the grand scheme of things regarding finances and how much money we've spent to a useless war in the Ukraine, $25 billion, $50 billion to build a wall to at least curtail at a high level the influx of illegal immigrants coming into the United States. This is an invasion of the United States,
100%.
The sovereignty. It's an absolute invasion.
What's going on with the change that's happened? Absolutely. Yeah. We have military people coming into our country.
100%. And so, you know.
They couldn't get here any other way.
Well, but,
let's be clear.
But these foreign are governments and our adversaries have said for decades, go back to the 60s, right? Even before that, these other adversaries that we have, Russia, China, all these other, Iran,
Venezuela.
Venezuela, they have said, and we all know, at no point will any of those foreign armies be able to fight the U.S. boots on the ground on our own territory, primarily because of the Second Amendment, and there's over 300 million guns in the hands of the United States citizens, right? We would slaughter them as their feet would never touch the ground if they tried to parachute in on U.S. soil, okay? And they know that. So this is an opportunity for them to infiltrate the United States over a period of time in mass, unimpeded, because we have a president, we have an administration that refuses to follow their oath of defending the United States soil and homeland against all enemies, foreign and domestic, due to politics. And so, you know, in my opinion, this particular type of policy that we're seeing and this lack of enforcement of these rules is absolutely treasonous. You go back 50, 60, 70, 80 years during the World War One, during World War One, World War II. If this had happened to any of those, or if any president had allowed this particular type of invasion, they would have been tried for treason and probably shot. And I'm not encouraging that. I'm not saying that. Don't take that the wrong way. Former employee, United States Secret Service. Come on. You know what I mean. But what I'm getting at is, this president, this administration is allowing an invasion on the U.S. soil.
I don't think it's unique to this president, right? So if you even go back to...
Well, I mean,
back when a Republican president was in office, although he had worked on trying to get the wall built, right? He didn't have the support of Congress,
right?
Congress and the House is still divided, right? They're still not working together on an issue that is causing... just a tremendous amount of drain.
Politics is in play, and they know that if they solve this problem, neither one of them have the talking points anymore during campaigns to fight against each other.
But what is that? That's un-American.
I understand that. That's the problem, is that we as Americans are not seeing that we're electing people that don't really have the best interest of all Americans at play. We're electing people that have the best interest of our party or our belief in place.
Or their own pocketbook.
We have to get back to electing Americans who want to serve Americans, not Democrats or Republicans.